we'll establish the quorum, please.
Karen Ward, here.
Greg Jones, present.
Kathy Agin, present.
And Ken Molnax, present. Let the record reflect that Stu Martinez is away on approved absence. And we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll ask Gary Gordon to lead us, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Gary. Are there any added agenda items for the agenda at this time?
Yep, we wanted to, we can do this at the very end. This would be your council priorities for the legislative priorities. That way we can base it on how much time we have left and how we do. Okay. An email went out earlier from the mayor on that. And do we have any, yep, we don't have to worry about Men Broadband. They're not ready. We have one other one? Oh. Nope, actually the Glenwood Water thing, we don't need to. We're going to wait till we get the new agreement, and both parties already signed it anyway, plus we'd already approved it once, so I don't need that.
Okay.
So I had a couple maybes, and the phone call just came in, Ben Broadband wants another hour, so that's enough, we'll wait.
Okay.
So I think that's fine at this point.
Okay. Item number 5 is consent agenda. Discussion. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And opposed? The ayes have it. It's approved. We'll do public comments at this time. And I have a Gary Gordon, who'd like to.
Did you want it now or at the end of the public
comment? This will be great.
Okay, thank you.
Hit the button, right?
The red button, yes.
The red button. Hello? My name is Gary Gordon, and I'm a resident of the city of Lapine over on Fordham Drive. And I didn't hit that, did I? Stay put. And you probably have seen me in the audience quite regularly. If I'm in town, I'm here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you just very briefly about our particular situation, but if I may, could I hand these out?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know where to start. Just take one, pass it down.
Last Saturday, I was a participant in the Clean Lapine Day, and as a resident of this fine city, I want to thank the mayor for his tireless efforts in organizing, recruiting, managing the entire project. I also want to thank all the volunteers who participated, including a rather large contingency of seniors who, like me, had to rub a lot of Bengay on our sore muscles afterwards. Responsible and caring citizens and businesses, churches and nonprofits participated and gave us a beautiful cross-section of what this community is all about. And the effort was not confined to those who just live technically within the city limits. Most certainly, the effort was a huge success for the entire city. My assigned spot was at the Wickiup Junction Rideshare Center. My little group handled noxious weed removal, brush clearing, stump removal, weed eating, push brooming, the parking lot area, and fence repairs. Am I leaving something out? Yeah. Trash removal and bagging. We managed about half a bag of trash. Now, these aren't the little bags, you know, the big orange thing, so. But come to find out a few days earlier, another group of mostly high school students gathered up close to 5 full bags of trash at the same site. okay, why was there so much trash? Looking around, trash cans? Didn't see any. So I dared at my age, why not? So rumor has it there'd been trash receptacles there in the past, but people put too much trash in them. After all, that's what trash cans do. And the suspicion were that they were using the receptacles for local personal use so as to avoid paying a trash collection fee at their residence. Further rumors, it was just too expensive to keep emptying the full trash containers. The problem was just too much trash. So the apparent solution was to decommission the trash containers, remove them to the mothball fleet, and let the wind take care of the trash problem. You know, that day I had enough time in the sun to think, to do some serious thinking. So I checked out the plaque nicely mounted proclaiming Wickiup Junction Rideshare Center. So I took a picture of it, and you each now have a look at it. And it says, this is great, a multi-agency project for the Lapine community. Wow, I thought to myself, multi-agency means everyone's on board, and project suggested it was an ongoing effort. I was so happy. And yet still no trash cans could be found. The site has two picnic tables. In my opinion, it should have two more. And that suggested that folks might be eating there. And the same folks would not be eating their own trash. And I would hope that most would cart the trash away, but alas, there's not even a sign asking folks to take their own trash away. So I thought perhaps I could find out more by going online and seeing who owns the property. So I searched online to try to find out who claims ownership of the Wickiup Junction Rideshare Center. I went to the Deschutes County Rolls and found it does not have a parcel number. The property to the east across Highway 97 and to the south of Gordy's is listed as belonging to USA, so I think that's BLM. But I could not determine if the rideshare belongs to the county, the state, or even the city. So who claims it? Who, if anyone, or what agency is responsible for the property's maintenance, upkeep, or liability issues? Now, we've all been grateful for the cleanup effort in North Lapine as you come down Highway 97. It was just awful, and so much trash. Everyone has commented that the trash and debris was a terrible eyesore and blight and gave such a bad impression to folks coming to our city. So now we have a nuisance ordinance to deal more effectively with such issues on private land. But the Wickiup Junction Rideshare Center appears to be in some kind of public ownership. So we have procedures in place to deal with trash users on private land, but we literally have nothing in place to deal with trash on public land. True, for a few wonderful days of the year, the Rideshare Center could be spotless again when the good folks participating in the Clean Lapine Day could come through again. But for the rest of the year, you know, the day after the cleanup, I drove by and saw trash under the picnic table. I thought that was just flat ugly. I also thought that a trash can would be a beautiful thing. The Rideshare Center is in Lapine, or at least seems to be, so I guess that the trashiness at the rideshare might be a reflection of Lapine itself. You know, guilt by association. There are no other apparent suspects. So I suppose I should get to the point if it's not already obvious. We need trash cans there and have them emptied as well on a regular basis. Now I know that such things are not free, but if you look at all the other agencies that will give their 2 cents by saying no, so the cost is the issue. True, I suppose a sign could be prepared for a one-time cost and prominently displayed indicating, welcome to Lapine. Please don't think badly of us just because there's a ton of trash here. This is a wonderful place to come and raise a family. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further public comment? Hearing none, I will move to our public hearing for the FY 2014-2015 budget. I'll open the hearing at this time and ask for a staff report.
Well, Summer, this is obviously on the budget, but we had a couple little changes we needed to make in there, and she can explain why and how.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We are in the final stages of adopting a budget for your next fiscal year. And you've participated with the budget committee. You've seen a lot of the budget. So we're just going to walk through the final steps of adopting that budget tonight. And the first thing we need to do is take the budget that was approved by the Budget Committee and hold a public hearing so that you guys have a chance to hear public comment before you actually formally adopt that budget. So we can, yeah, you're ready.
Okay. You want public comment at this time?
Yeah, the budget that was approved by the Budget Committee has been available to the public. Notice went out in the paper and has been available here at City Hall, so people have had a chance to look at it. And they know that they're going to have a chance to comment on it tonight, so if anyone has comments,
all right. And this is a public hearing for the very reason of taking comments on the FY 2014-15 budget. Are there any comments on the budget? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing. And the council will deliberate to approve the budget.
At this point, it's a deliberation on any comments that you may have heard from the public.
I personally haven't heard anything.
Okay, I think we can go to the next step then.
All right. Item number 8 on the agenda is approval of a resolution number...
No.
No?
We need to approve the budget.
Well, that's what this is.
That's item
Oh, okay, all right.
That's what I was saying. Approval of resolution 2014-07, a resolution adopting the FY 2014-2015 budget for the City of Lapine. Any discussion, council?
I actually have some background to provide and some more information about the budget that we'd like council to adopt tonight, that we're proposing for adoption.
Okay.
Attached to
the
resolution.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
I'm sorry?
We can't hear you.
Oh.
Speak into the microphone, please.
Is that better?
Thank you.
Great. So resolution 2014-07 is the resolution that's in front of you. You have attached to that a budget worksheet. And it's very similar to the document that you've seen and approved as the Budget Committee. Staff is proposing one change to that to get to the budget that will be adopted. And that's in the general fund. So on the set of worksheets that you have in front of you, which look like this, you'll see on the right-hand side a set of columns for fiscal year 2014-15. So you have the proposed budget, that's the initial budget that staff took to the Budget Committee.
Mm-hmm.
You have an approved column, which is the budget that was actually approved by the committee.
Okay.
The plus or minus column is going to represent the adjustment that we're proposing. And then the final column is the to be adopted column. Those are the figures that we're asking for adoption. The only change that staff is asking for between the budget that the Budget Committee approved and the budget that we're looking at tonight is within the general fund. On pages two and three, you'll see that in the proposed budget that went to the Budget Committee, there was initially $40,000 set aside as a reserve for future expenditures. That's on page 3, about 3/4 of the way down. The amount of $40,000.
Okay.
There was a formula error made by me in that budget that went to the Budget Committee. So the numbers that the committee actually approved did not include that $40,000 of set aside. So what staff is proposing is that we make that adjustment now to go ahead and set aside $25,000 for future expenditures. To do that, we have to take away from expected fiscal 14-15 expenditures. So on the previous page, page 2, you're going to see that we're proposing to pull $20,000 out of materials and services.
Okay.
And then on page 3, there'll be another $5,000 being pulled out of capital outlay.
Okay.
To get to your $25,000 to be set aside for reserves for future years.
Okay.
That's the only adjustment that we're proposing between what the committee adopted and what you'll adopt tonight as City Council. Any questions about that?
Let's talk about the, like in capital outlay is Lapine Park and Rodeo Project. I mean, these these items that we're selecting?
Yes, and I'm glad Rick is back because he will need to answer this question.
Just checking something.
Go ahead, Mike.
What's the question?
The items that were designated to...
Capital?
Yeah, to go...
But basically, you're talking about this, I wasn't here, so what you voted on yet.
Yeah, so the $25,000 that you're wanting to put into reserve for future years?
Right.
You picked a few lines in materials and services, and then the rodeo event line, capital outlay. How did you pick which lines to pull that out of?
Just, I picked the ones, basically tried to take a little bit from here and there that we could afford to do and wouldn't make any impacts. That's basically how that was done. You could pick here and there, you could take $1,000 here, $500 here, you know. And so that's kind of what I did so the budget would balance.
Okay. Any questions, Council?
$5,000 out of repairs and maintenance?
Yeah, that was our set aside for City Hall. Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay, because I obviously don't know what you're looking at.
It'll
but,
be okay. Yeah,
that's just for, you know, they had set aside none.
Okay.
When I was here before, I had set aside $20,000. Then when I was gone, that just went away. They just put it other places. So I'm trying to reestablish it. So yes, I wanted to go $5,000 more, but it's already $20,000 more than you had. Mm-hmm. That's basically, and that was just so if we need to repave, put a new roof on, do something. My goal is to get that up to $50,000-$75,000. So when you need a parking lot that's $50,000, we have money. So you want to put, if we would always add $5,000 to it, it can build, but it went away. So trying to kind of establish it back. So my goal was not to take $5,000, but I thought it's better than we were doing. So
okay.
I didn't want to get into things that people wanted and programs you worked on and talked about and stuff like that. So that was kind of we wouldn't spend that probably anyway.
Okay.
We're all okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then I'll entertain a motion to approve the budget with the changes that have been identified. Is that satisfactory?
Yeah, the resolution 2014-07, it has three parts, and that's the first part, is to adopt the budget that you're looking at.
Okay.
The second part takes the totals from that budget, the total expenditures by category, and it gives staff the legal spending authority to actually spend that money. So just adopting a budget doesn't necessarily give staff the authority to spend it. It's really more of an internal monitoring tool. The appropriation piece of the resolution is the legal spending authority. That's the piece that the state is going to care about. So it cares about the totals and it cares about your expenditures by category. Because they want to make sure that staff are spending money as you have told them you want them to spend it through this process.
And that's all in this resolution?
Right.
2014-07?
Yeah.
So it's got all, basically if you look at that, it looks daunting.
It's up on the screen as well.
So you guys, it's your general fund, and some were saying that they've kind of changed that a little, I think what they're, and it really makes sense if you think about it, what the state's saying is, general fund, $787,000, they don't care as much of all the different little, if you want to spend $5,000 of that on garbage cans, and you thought you were going to spend $5,000 on lawn mowing, they don't care. What they want to know is you don't exceed the total.
Okay.
And so you'll notice these are the categories, general fund, street fund, water fund, sewer fund, cemetery, and so there's a total. And if you think about it, it does make sense. If someone wants to get into the 100-page thick budget beyond that, that's certainly fine. But I think they used to care more about various categories.
Right.
about, oh, you went, you didn't spend, you didn't overspend materials and services, but you overspent personnel. They kind of don't care anymore. It's as long as you didn't overspend the total. So if you save 10 grand in personnel, you could overspend 10 grand in personnel services, and that's a bit of a kind of a change. But like I say, if you think about it, it makes sense. It's the total at the bottom that matters. Now, the budget committee might be mad if you don't spend it where you're supposed to, or the council might get mad, you know. That's...
Yep, and that's why we still present financial information based on budget. And you guys can look at the gory detail of that at any point. But well, we'll provide summaries based on the more detailed budget.
And I think that's come along in the last couple of months, and it's been beneficial.
Good.
Another thing is, just like city managers all have their own style, guess who else has their own styles?
Yes.
Financial people.
And so there's not always a right and a wrong, and it's a style. And so, you know, and her style's been pretty good, so we just...
Pretty good.
So he says in public.
Yeah. It's on tape.
That's right.
We don't know what the next one will say.
I quote you on that.
Yeah.
With that, if there's no further discussion or comment, Council, is there a motion to approve a resolution number 2014-07, resolution adopting the FY 2014-2015 budget for the City of Lapine?
I so moved.
And moved?
Second.
Seconded? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. It's approved.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm sure everybody knows, but there's a lot of work that went on behind the scenes to get us from yesterday to today. I mean, serious work. So I congratulate the staff for their perseverance and due diligence.
Well, it was a little, you know, with the audit being late and all those things, trying to get that, and, you know, we still don't even have the results, but we, you know, but I think definitely things will be easier year after year moving forward. You know, these are more permanent changes in systems, so that's the goal.
I think that the city getting in the habit of putting a contingency fund is extremely important. You never know. Okay. Item number 9 is approval of a resolution number 2014-08, a resolution authorizing the transfer of FY 2013-2014 budget appropriation within funds.
Yes, okay, so we just got done talking about next fiscal year. So we're switching gears, we're talking about the current fiscal year that we're in and just about ready to end. We also talked about appropriations, the legal spending authority that you guys designate for staff to spend within. What we decided to do for the end, as we're approaching the end of this fiscal year, is look at our appropriations that you guys did last year and make sure we have been spending appropriately. And so the good news is, in total, we have been spending as intended. The adjustments that need to be made are within the spending categories. So we talked about the materials and services and the debt service, the different categories that the spending authority is placed into. So for the year that we're currently in, the budget that was approved and the appropriations that were approved need to be transferred between categories. And that's all this resolution does. So we're looking at the general fund, the street fund, water fund, and sewer fund. And in the resolution 2014-08, I've laid out for you the initial resolution that was approved, which was 2013-01. You can see the increase or decrease in the appropriation and how it's switching between different categories to get to your revised appropriation.
The dollars are the same.
The dollars are the same.
It's a little bit like doing a journal entry. Another thing with style, and she made very good points. You'll notice there's changes to the capital all the time. Me, when I put it together, and actually Brenda never said anything, Bartlett, who does audits and works on budgets, but it's again, she, like the sidewalk project, summer, and she's right, that's a capital item. It's a capital of something that you're going to depreciate out. We put it under, because it's being done by a we're contracting it out. We have $200,000 or $300,000 under contracts, and it's just a generic contracts, and then we gave you a list of all the things we're going to buy with contracts. But because this is a capital item in accounting world, it shouldn't have been in contracts. We should have listed it under capital. Then that gets into a depreciation. It can in other areas, because she's been getting on us about depreciation lists, and we took on the districts, but no one really looked at their list of assets, and so it's all part of that. So in the future, you'll see more of these things will be listed under capital if it's truly a capital item. And so this is cleaning up some of last year. Dollars are all there. There's no more money being spent. It's just moving things
to where they should be.
Correct, kind of?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And the intention is the same. The intention of the spending has never changed. It's just the accounting lingo and the categories that it fits into.
Okay. Council?
Good.
Is there a motion to approve Resolution number 2014-08, a resolution authorizing transfer of FY 2013-14 budget appropriations within fund?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous approval of Resolution 2014-08. Thank you. Financial summary for FY 2013-2014.
All right, we're cruising right along. So,
we could get out of here in time for dinner.
I know, right? So, the fiscal year that we're currently in, which is what we just adopted a resolution for, you have a couple financial summaries in front of you, one for revenues, one for expenditures. And those are fiscal year to date through the end of May. So I'm happy to say we're at the point now where we've got through last year's audit. We're getting caught up through the current fiscal year so that we can give you pretty timely financial information. And it's accurate, it's reliable. So that going into the audit, the next audit, we're gonna be ready to move forward. So we're in a good place. So a quick review of the numbers. And I should tell you, the 13-14 budget figures that are in here include the transfer appropriation that you just approved. So we were assuming that that would go through. On the resource side of life, you're 92% through your fiscal year. So you've got 1 month left. You'd expect all your revenues, or you would hope all your revenues, would be at least that much. And they are, with the exception of your shared revenues and grants, which is primarily just timing of your grant money.
When they pay or what happens.
Exactly. So there's not a lot of concern there.
So
until
you're
98%. Yeah.
98% of the income. So we'll hit our 99. Who knows? I mean, you never know exactly. It may go 101 or 2. It's all in, but.
Right.
Very good.
Any questions on resources?
Taxes, we were a little over spending. Maybe about 105%. So we always estimate a little, less. SDCs, you never know about that.
Is the tax
franchise fees may not hit. That's a guess because it's a percentage of people's phone bills, power bills, and all of that, gas bills. And you're guessing how cold the winter is going to be. People turn on their heat more, their gas more if it's cold. So.
There's also some timing in there. I
timing
think it's going to come in pretty close.
Yeah, and it's when you get the checks.
Yeah.
Now, Summer, if we get a check in July, but it's for June, does it get backdated in?
Yes.
What if we get one in August that's for June? Does it get, at some point there must be a line and it just doesn't get there? Or?
If we're preparing for the audit and we're going through all of that, what I'm going to do is look at all of your franchisees and I'll build a pretty Excel spreadsheet, right? And say, these are all the folks, all the businesses that are paying franchise fees. I know that this company has paid through May, they haven't paid June. And as of the end of August, they still haven't paid for June. I'm just gonna build an estimate and push an estimate back. So you'll have at least an estimate through June that gets pushed back into this fiscal year.
And like transit room tax, obviously in June, you're not gonna get it until July because people are still staying in the rooms.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be August, so.
Does the taxes at 105 indicate that we're getting taxes from a previous year?
It just means, but it could be all that. It could be that, remember, when we build the budget, we have to guess what the values are going to be.
Okay.
And then also prior year collections. So it's a little of both. And like this year, he told us he's estimating 3 to 5%. We took 3.5%.
Okay.
So if he's at 4 or 4.5%, you'll have the same thing next year, because we don't yet today know what the assessed values are going to be. How, when he's all done, he doesn't do that until September.
Okay.
So.
Okay. When you budget, you take a fairly conservative stance on that to make sure you're
going to have it. So the difference is carried over. I mean, any income is over, so people always think, oh, that's a windfall, but just it rolls over. We don't get to spend any more money because of what you just did with those resolutions.
Right.
We're capped at what we said we were going to spend. We could take in double that. That doesn't mean you got any more money for garbage cans. It goes carried over for next year. Then you go through the budget process and decide how to spend it. So the kitty and all the other budget folks here get to have a say in it. You know, you do.
And I will say that if something comes up, so the budget you just adopted for next year, if something comes up during next year that you didn't have authority for or include in the budget, so you just didn't know about it, staff can come back to council and ask for additional spending authority. So you're not handcuffed.
You can do a supplemental. And that happens, I mean, someone gets a big grant or something comes in, they want to spend it. That, but people, it's more educational for everyone. A lot of the people understand. So if halfway through next year we get $500,000 grant to spend over the 3 months after that, we have no authority to spend it.
Yeah,
we have
to
come back
to council.
So, to the council.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so expenditures again, 92% of the year has lapsed. You can see that your categories, your all of your expenditure, broad expenditure categories are tracking less than that 92%, with the exception of debt service. That's very predictable. Your debt payments, you know what they are ahead of time, so you can budget those right on. And all the debt service payments for the year have been made, so that's sitting at 100%. Everything else is tracking really well. In total, you're at 58% of what you budgeted for the year.
So is that normal? I mean, is that seems low to me?
It is low, and I think, and Rick can comment to this too, but I think it's mostly a factor of very conservative budgeting. Last year when you guys went through this process and thought about, when you never, at that point you hadn't had much experience with the water district or the sewer district or a lot of these operations, so you want to budget very conservatively, and I think that's what happened.
Well,
so,
I mean, there's a couple, several things. You had finance officer and city manager vacant.
Right.
Then also some of the grants and things that we, or some of the projects we thought we were going to do, they're not being done. And so like I had to sit when I had to guess, thinking all this stuff was going to be done in the year you're in. So next year's budget,
right.
Next year's budget, we're going to spend it. So, and like right now, I had to guess, you look out there, okay, I mean, we were sitting here last week trying to make this resolution you passed on the adjustments, like, well, gosh, I mean, we're all smart, everyone in this room, right? How much of that is he going to get done in the next 2 weeks? How much will that bill be? Is that, you know, does the concrete man bill 2 months from now, is that half the project cost? So you're sitting here, okay, it's a $100,000 project. 25 of it's going to be in June, 75 of it's in July, two different budget years. So, you know, we haven't spent $1 on this current financial statement. Not $1 has been spent on that project. So, but we'll get a bill in July for this. And when you take in our budget, 50 grand, I mean, it shoots numbers up pretty fast. So, who knows?
And that'll roll back to these numbers here, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we do the end of the year. But we will be low. We're always, you know, I'm
sure
as long as I'm here, it will be low. Unless you do something different. That's how I keep my friends.
Okay. Any questions further?
I just go to a candy store and not eat it all.
Or you can look at a cookie dish and not eat all the cookies off of it.
That's right. I might want to.
There's one left on his plate over there. All right. Council, any further comments or questions around?
But I think it's good. Now we should hope about every month you'll get just something, and hopefully some of you, I can pass that out. That's it. But it is nice to have, and so you actually know where we are, and that should be something every month.
I love it.
At least, you know, we went 8 months without one. That's dangerous. So this is good, and summer really works on making us look good and readable with having the pie chart and all of it. And any detail you want on any, we get down to every penny, so, you know, we can get down to every little invoice, so if anyone that has a question on something. But, you know, as we said before, if you hand something out this thick, what do you read?
Front page.
Basically none of it. So, you know, those are the totals.
I think also, though, it gives the council an opportunity to, at some point in time, see what they're getting, and then if there's questions around, you know, developing a use for it and thinking about the information they could be getting. So
absolutely.
It's a great place to start.
Yeah, and that's a good seed to plant in your guys' heads about what are the performance pieces that you guys really care about, and how can staff build a monthly or quarterly report for you that's meaningful.
I think we'll be figuring that out. Okay.
And why don't you just, before, because I told you she could take off, and just on the audit, why don't you just update him on her, because I saw today it looks like she's happy with it finally, so it'll go
so
to
close.
The boss.
It's so close. Yeah, I think we'll have it issued, probably final draft issued by the end of next week. We have everything into them. They're doing a final review. Their partner at the firm does a high-level review of the audit procedures that were done and the major transactions and how they were handled and the final product that's going to come back to the client. And that's where it's at right now. It's in a final review. So they may come back to us with a few comments or suggestions. We will take care of those, and then they'll be an issue. And what kind of presentation, if any, will we do for council?
Well,
we can talk about that.
I think it would be nice to have them come over. They would come make a presentation, but they didn't want to. Or they could do it when they were here.
Yeah, but they're not coming out until September, so it's kind of late.
I think I'd like to have them come out just because as long as it took.
We can ask them to make a special.
We could also do a Skype. Yeah. We could do a Skype thing. You're getting so used to it. You know, we could, if Mr. Rogers, Roy Rogers, Bomer, everyone laughs. But Roy, you've best been on Skype. He's kind of a character. But him and some of the partners, we could do that just to. But this has been a real process, and obviously we're 6 months late, but it's pretty good and turned out, and it took a lot of stuff and all these folks working on it. I'm going to make her dig out sometime all the stack of journal entries that I kept signing and looking at and moving around. But and then you know, I would say the auditor sends their draft, and she marks that thing up all over, and she was right back on him and saying, well, don't you, what about this, and don't you say that, and now I don't agree to that.
Yeah.
And then they,
I said a little nicer.
Yes, and then they would kind of, some of them just disappear, and then, you know, and so it was been back and forth, and it's been fun to watch.
It's an interesting process because they draft the actual document for you, but at the end of the day, it's the city's document. That's your financial statement. So it's kind of shared ownership of that document. It's interesting how we work together to get to the final answer.
They got to make sure they follow the laws and make sure everything's done from a legal standpoint, but it's how you present things. And we wanted to make sure they were presented the way that we wanted them presented.
So our document? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they've now agreed to Grant, what's her first name? Grant?
Tamara.
Yeah, today. She's going on vacation. So. She's
all
done. We wore her out.
Yeah.
She's handing it off to Mr. Roy. So anyway, that will be coming. And then like our rate study, I got a call from him today, our big rate study. See, it's been frozen waiting. Nothing has gone on that because they needed audited numbers of sewer and water. What do we actually take in? What's our actual payroll? Estimates for the study, we want an accurate study. So he's basing it on that audit. Because if they weren't audited, then you're doing a lot of guesswork. And then you'd have to go back, because it's already, remember, this is the year ago audit.
Right.
So then you'd have to go a year behind that. You couldn't do it. Yeah. So anyway, he called me today and he said, we're just waiting, I want you to know. So as soon as it's approved or gets to us, we will then send it to him today. Do their thing. They're working on it, but they just can't.
Okay. What kind of timeline does that create for them?
Well, it just shoved us back a month or six. It was going to be in September, October, it'll be November or something, I don't know. Cool. I haven't talked to him.
It's a month or two.
Yeah. Okay. But we do want it accurate, so it's worth waiting for. He can base it on an audit of expenses. Because this audit is the first year we had sewer water.
Right.
That's what people, you know, and even for, I kept always in my brain, we're sitting here, you approved a 14-15. This is a 12-13.
We're living in 3 years.
12-13 audit. Mm-hmm. And that's what always gets me. I've got 12-13 audit we're talking about. I got the 13-14 that these changes, and then I got the 14-15. And I'm also now what year are we talking about here?
Okay. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Intergovernmental agreement for the Oregon Fellows Program.
Should have that there. And our fellow is here, so you can come up and approve, decide if you are approving. He's already worked for 2 days, so Corey, if you want to come on upstairs,
yeah,
say hi to everyone, introduce yourself, tell them about yourself and the fun you've had so far and what you plan on doing.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members, interested citizens. My name is Corey Misley, and I will be working for all of you, the City of Lapine, this summer until about the middle of August. And I mainly have two chief projects that will be supervised by Rick, and I'll be going out into the community, visiting every business, bringing them up to speed on the new business license program. I put this together really quickly. Can I share one with each of you? Just a little bit of information about the program. I'll be delivering applications, directing them in the right way, answering questions. And I'll be inventorying the businesses and building a database that the city can use moving forward to keep track of things within the city. And I'll also be visiting quite a bit of properties and taking pictures and also inventorying and building a database around those as well. Those are sort of my two big deliverable objectives for the summer, but I'll also be assisting Rick on anything that he sees fit. So does anyone have any questions for me?
Why don't you tell about yourself?
Sure.
So they know who you
Yeah, are. Absolutely. So I am from Oregon City. I went to high school there, attended Portland State University. I earned a bachelor's degree in political science and psychology. During my time in college, I was a track and field coach at the high school I went to. I actually worked in Reynolds School District and worked for the university. After that, I went and spent a year in AmeriCorps in Vancouver, Washington, working with a small nonprofit that centers around STEM education. I heard you mention that earlier. And then this past year, I just completed my first year of a master's in public policy in Pittsburgh. And it was a good learning experience, but I'm glad to be back in the Northwest, back in Oregon in particular. So looking forward to this summer.
Okay.
So this agreement, so how it works, you know, we talked, I mean, you know about we were going to do it, you wanted to do it, we put it in our budget. And so we pay Portland State, they take care of him. So he's technically their employee, and so he's here as an intern fellow. And we don't write paychecks, we don't, you know, he doesn't have a time clock to punch in. It's more per product, it's driven off the projects we have. And then, of course, he's got to take off, get ready to go back to school and all those things. And then next week you're at a class, they do a thing for a few days.
I have to be at Portland State next week for a few days, but after that I will be here full-time each week until, like I said, probably the middle of August or so. And then there's a number of details about what I'll be doing in the contract, but if you have any other questions, please direct them, you know, to Rick or myself.
And so far we've driven, around, looked at, we went down Railroad Street. Any of you have been down Railroad?
It's an adventure, isn't it?
It's been an eventful couple days. I like it.
We also went down and looked at Crescent Creek. So we've seen contrasting
both
styles. And, but we have, he was here for the Public Works meeting yesterday, so he was learning about our sewer system and all the issues there. And, I mean, yeah, we've, I've taken him, yesterday we had a former legislator we had lunch with, who, you know, he just went, wherever I was going, he was going, so we went and had lunch with him. That was fun. And today we met with the EDCO rep, had lunch with them, and so, you know, he's kind of getting a grasp of things. He's met with, he did an inspection with me at
Wellness Center.
The Wellness Center over in Gordy's Strip Mall. There's a new Wellness Center at the end, who helps provide wellness. And we then met with another gentleman on the same topic of wellness for an hour. They participated from the other room, I think. They heard the conversation. If that tells you anything.
A lot.
Yeah. So we had that discussion, and he's been right there. So it's been interesting. He's had 2 days. I said he came back today after yesterday.
I'll be back tomorrow.
But I think he's actually enjoying it because what he's learning is the diversity, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I've learned a lot. I couldn't imagine I'd learn this much in 2 days.
Just to see the diversity of the issues that come in. So you think it's land use 1 minute, you know, it's a sign 1 minute, it's an inspection 1 minute, it's this and that, from sewers to marijuana. It just comes. And so it makes me feel good. He's sitting there, wow, what is all of this? So the diversity, you have to keep your brain going because your brain has to switch topics just very quickly. But it's a lot of fun. I think we're going to get a lot of benefit out of him, and I think we'll get some good product that we can use and benefit from. So you've got the agreement there. Okay. We just need to authorize the, so I can send it to his folks at PSU.
Okay. Any questions of Corey or staff? We okay then?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You didn't run after going those places. Welcome.
Is there a motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement?
So
for the Oregon vote, moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, sir.
I think it's going to be an experience. A new city where something changes every day. I think it's going to be a learning experience you won't forget. Then we are at other matters, and we had talked about the legislative priorities, and we have them up on the screen.
If it's a little out of unusual, but it's so small, and Eric came in late, so I want to just so you let him introduce himself to you, because he's someone we may use for some things, or certainly I just today had someone in town. Corey and I met with a lady down on Huntington that wants to redo a front of a business. Well, when you do that, the sidewalks were in total disarray, the whole thing is crumbling. And so she buys it, and the franchise owners were there from the company headquarters. And so they have to approve the place, and it all has to get approved. So as I explained to them out there, you know, you just don't go have your friend go pour a sidewalk. First of all, you're pouring it on city property, but we have to make sure it meets ADA. Slope, all those angles, and then she's going to have a ramp built. Well, that also, now that's on her land, but it's got to meet, you know, angles. And So, you know, she said, well, who do we hire? And I said, well, there was a guy who just opened up shop and been, and so, you know, someone that she could get, because on ours, I hate to say it, but we have to demand a basically an engineer. They're coming on all. It's public property, and it has to be built to where it meets what we need in the codes and the laws that we come under. That can't be a napkin. You know, a lot of times we try to be informal, but we cannot have an informal hodgepodge of sidewalks. I mean, you just can't. So they will have to spend some money, because we want to make sure it's got the right base, it's the right depth, it's got the right slopes, and all of that. So, and she understood that. So anyway, I just thought, why Eric's here. Eric worked for Century West. When we hired them to do this job out here, he was with them, and he was one of the three guys who came down when we hired him. And then he was at the time working for Sisters, and they're holding a big sidewalk project, which is huge. So then he decided to go make money on his own. So, Eric, why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you. My name is Eric Huffman. I'm a civil engineer and a land surveyor. And I actually work as the city engineer in Sisters. That's a contract position. I have a company that's based in Bend. And I focus on roadway and sidewalk and ADA type of improvement projects. So I'm just here to just drop in and learn what I can. So thanks.
Well, thank you very much for coming tonight.
Why don't you just tell them what Sisters does, that you have an engineer, because I think while we got a little time, it would be, because what he's saying is, see, we don't do that yet, but part of me thinks that's where we need to get. And what it is we would have an engineer who is kind of like what we did with Summer, or you do with Jeremy, where they become your engineer. You can have a set money per month, or it's hourly. There's a lot of ways to do it, but he is your engineer. Then when we get applications, so the lady we were talking about, she goes and hires Company X, and they give us plans that say they're going to go build this. Well, you know, I mean, I'm not an engineer. I look at it, oh, it looks good to me. It's nice and pretty on the paper. You need someone looking out for the city. So what you do in other cities matters, and evidently Sister, I'll let him. I forward it to him. He reviews it to make sure it meets what we want. And then he would go back to that engineer and say, hey, your sidewalk's not deep enough, or it's not wide enough, or we want whatever it is. That's probably where we're going to have to get as applications come in. Because right now, I just kind of send it to someone. On the two ODOT projects, we had to do the conflicts.
Yeah, utility conflicts.
Utility conflicts. Well, I just had Brad Baird from Anderson Perry, because he was working for us. I just called Brad, can you turn these out in the next 2 weeks? And he did. So it worked. You know, right. They didn't cost us too much, but so explain what Sisters does.
Well, yeah, in that situation, in Sisters, ODOT just built a highway, or they are building a highway through Sisters. So in that case, I did the utility conflict letters for the city of Sisters, and I made sure that ODOT paid for all the necessary utility relocations that were going to be necessary for the construction of the highway. Anything that was in the plans that may not have been caught by ODOT, but I know that the city is going to have to relocate a fire hydrant, made sure that that was identified and that ODOT put the bill for that relocation. And then whenever a developer comes in, those plans that come in, I review those plans and make sure that they comply with the standards and specifications of the city or we use a combination in Sisters for there's local standards and specifications for sidewalk widths, road widths, and base rock and all the materials that go into construction. And then there's a combination using that and ODOT specifications, which are very robust as well. So every time there is an application that comes in, I review those plans and make my recommendations to the city. And then there are capital projects that I'll just design and put the plans together myself for those projects.
So. Do they have you on an hourly?
It's an hourly, yes. No retainer.
So, that you can see where I, you know, maybe next year for the day, another, you know, we're spending money with engineers now, but it's a hodgepodge of who you use. And so I could see where to make it all, don't you, what do you think of that?
Well, yeah, I think we definitely benefit from city engineer. any plan to review water, sewer, subdivision, they need to be, I mean, I can review it, but it needs to be reviewed by somebody that can stamp it themselves. And we get to, you get to bill that back to the person that's applying, so.
Yeah, that's how it's the review fees that those people pay at when they submit. That's where the review comes out of that fee.
Okay. So
it's a net zero to the city. And in Sisters, actually, Richard Norrett used to be the city engineer in Sisters, and he just retired from that position a year and a half ago, and that's when I replaced Richard Norrett. So I'm not sure if Richard Norrett is still doing work.
We had him, yep, same thing. We used him on a couple little things, so we just kind of used whoever. It's probably not the best system. What do you think?
Consistency seems to be needed in that, and I would think, especially engineering, you know, so you're getting the same kind of information in the same language from one person, you're better served.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Eric was at the Public Works meeting yesterday and was able to say a few words to the Public Works group. So thank you for that, too.
Thanks.
Legislative priorities.
Well, some of you might remember, although, you know, I know you disregard most of those, but the mayor sent this out, and a couple people are commenting back. So the League of Oregon Cities wants us to come up with some legislative priorities, or at least let them know kind of what we think are the priorities, and they got these several pages, and she's got some there. And we knew we had some time tonight, and we need to do this, so the mayor thought it was important, and I do too, if we're going to respond. I mean, I can respond myself, but that's not what you want. Lots of it is just stuff that, you know, really doesn't pertain. This is a statewide issue. Obviously, this is from Portland to Shanico, 35 people in Shanico. So there's a lot of variation in the needs and what's important.
Well, I think part of it is the fact that some of this stuff directly applies to where we're going to be or what we're doing, and some of it is just general, like Rick has said, it applies to the other side of the mountain more so. But I think there's several things in here that if we're really doing our job, we are to look at and make some kind of decision about whether it works for us, or we need to comment or let our desires be known.
And I don't know if any of you remember looking at it. You might not. You know, obviously, as I responded back to you guys, I think transportation is always the, you know, I try to stay focused. Is if you think about this project out here is ODOT funded. First Street's our next big project that's ODOT funded. Wickiup Junction is ODOT funded. And the sidewalks in between for $1 million ODOT funded. So if you looked at the state, who's helping us, you have to always go back to ODOT. The second thing, our public works department's transfer from state highway funds is through ODOT. When ODOT raises or increases revenues, we get a percentage. So that goes into our local budget. It's pretty hard not to look at that as, and the transportation fuel taxes have been frozen for many years. They've been, you know, kind of stuck there. And again, it's not that, you know, some people want them to raise, some don't, but it's, you know, they have sat there. So I was looking at the transportation section just saying, you know, we don't need to answer, you know, it says gas tax 5 cents a gallon. I mean, we don't need to sit here and say, well, wait, we only want 2.5 cents. They're going to fight out what all that is. But I think I would like to see us prioritize transportation funding. And whether that's registration fees, mileage fees, again, there's a whole bunch of folks going to fight that one out.
Yeah.
But it's, we talked, I think, when we were doing the budget, as more people are running electric cars, hybrids, and every combination in between, distilled, they're going down the highway. And so the fact is, when Ken goes down the highway in a 15 mile per gallon rig, and someone else goes on it at 40 miles per gallon, they're paying less than half of what he is. And same with electro. And if you only got 1% of the vehicles doing that, well, you know, but as those numbers go up, that's a reality of the change. And the legislature knows it. They know it nationally, that people are going to alternative types of things to get better mileage. But it costs, they're still driving the same number of miles. So, and that's what ODOT is struggling with. What, how do you capture the 10 mile per gallon person and the 40, 50, or if you're electric, none? You pay nothing.
I agree.
It's all that stuff, and it's very controversial.
Yeah. The whole idea around that is something's got to be done, and however they wind up doing it. But I think Rick's right. We see where all of our money and our efforts of support are coming from. I think transportation is probably, and if you've read that, they're working on something to make that pan out equally for everybody.
And then that bottom one there, it says increase the small cities allotment from 1 to 5 million. That's a pot we could get into. That's how we could pave a Kegel Road or something, because that's where you can go. Little Metolius down here has used that all the time to pave roads. It used to be like $25,000 and it went to 50, but there was only 1 million statewide. Well, when you've got 250 cities and most of them are small, so they're wanting to raise that. The League of Oregon Cities would like to raise that allotment. But that's how we could sometime go get a $100,000 grant in the city to go do, it has nothing to do with a state highway. We could go get money for a Kegel Road.
Yeah.
But boy, with only 1 million statewide, so one of their requests on here is trying to get that up. So it's a whole suite of options. But anyway, for me, that, of course, the other one possibly could be anything with wastewater, because we're going to be doing sewer water stuff. You know, I didn't think, you know, energy, again, individually some people, but, you know, requiring people to pay 1.5% green tax on, you know, probably not something that you're going to jump up and down over. Finance and taxation. In human resources, we don't deal in that too much. Clarify enhanced medical marijuana dispensary regulations. Well, that's going to happen. They're going to do that. So we can certainly put that on the list. Those are my thoughts.
Okay. So we've got those three.
Transportation and water, wastewater.
Okay, the other one on the second page, or the first page of the priority list under community development, mm-hmm. I think it's important, if we look back at the time when BioGreen was here, there is a process of appeals for, we'll just use BioGreen as an example. You can take it all the way to LUBA, and you could be Joe Doak somewhere almost and appeal it. And this item D here is reform the post acknowledgement plan process, require applicants to raise issues before the local government before raising the issue on appeal. So in other words, once it's appealed, or they can appeal something without ever having come to the local jurisdiction to LUBA, and they've got standing. So for me, that's, when I look back on BioGreen, that was a big thing. It held up the production of BioGreen, or the moving forward of BioGreen, for a long time, and then the market fell out. So something like that, while it is it doesn't look like a lot, I think that's an important thing that we ought to be aware of. And If it gets put in place one of these days with all this industrial land, we may get to use that again, or we may have option to wish we had something like that. So that's my thoughts there.
So that's D on community development.
Yeah, D on community development.
Well, they say we get four. So then if we did that, it'd be, we don't pick 1, 2, 3. So it's just you get four. that we'd reform. Transportation is pass a comprehensive transportation funding policy package and continue or enhance funding for Connect Oregon, which is a funding program with ODOT. And then the other one would be under, I think, B, support funding for low-interest opportunities to address failing residential on-site septic systems would support repair and replacement of failing systems or conversion to municipal system. So that's what we'd be doing in Kegel and everything is converting from on-site to a municipal system. So that grant program is approved. But that's the four. I mean, obviously there's several that they'll...
So. Well, there are. You know, there's there's a number of them here.
A big one actually for us is, but I don't know that it go anywhere, is that opposed legislation to preempt our ability to manage and receive compensation from our right-of-way. That's our...
Oh, yeah, that's a biggie.
That is a biggie.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll just exit and give them five, but they don't throw us out.
Yeah. I think that's probably bigger, as bigger. Yeah. You know,
I agree.
Let me see. The other one was on just before that I looked at was under telecommunications. Proposed legislation preempt.
Well, that's the one. That's the right of way, right?
Oh,
there.
Is that the? Oh, yeah. Is that okay? Oh, yeah. ROW. Okay.
Okay. There's our list.
Okay.
And believe me, we're not gonna.
Okay.
You know, we're one of many.
Yeah. There'll be a lot of them that don't even respond.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll give this to Patty. You guys can fax this over to the LOC.
At this time, was there anything else? In added matters? Other matters? I don't recall. I didn't write it down. So.
Under that,
no.
No.
Marijuana packet is in there, but I don't know what you're going to do with that.
Yeah. What's that?
The patio marijuana.
Oh, he didn't show up. We can talk about that after our report.
Okay.
He was going to come. Maybe he might convince him. Between Corey and I, we got him convinced to not come. Corey was mean to him.
We'll go to public comment at this time. Is there any public comment on anything we covered? If not, then we will proceed to staff comments.
We had a good public works meeting yesterday. First, we talked about water in the industrial park and how to. We hired a consultant that. Anderson Perry, and they looked at the water line situation, how do we improve our fire flows over behind Mid-State in the Findlay. It's Industrial Park, that was Business Park.
Right.
Findlay Butte Industrial Park, which has no customers in it. But we looked at ways to how to upgrade the water line to get the fire flow. And he had a great presentation and charts. There's nothing, right now, you know, it's one that because we have no one back there, it's nice for us to know what it would cost. You kind of know what the options are. But depending on how you do it, it's about a couple, well, the cheap one was two, the best route if you just do it was 200,000, 200,000 to 400,000, and that would be to increase a line off of Findlay Butte in, you know, bring in a 12-inch and hook it to the other line. So the problem is right now they dead end, there's no looping. And fire flow means looping, because water will come from several directions when you suck it out. You can pull off two or three fire hydrants. And so right now we're getting, I think it was 1,000 GPM over there, and we could get it up over 2,400 if we spent 400 grand and about 2,100 if we spent 200 grand. You can't really justify that without someone over there. But the fact, if we get a business that needs 2,000 GPM, we know, you know, but you can get them to help pay for it, see, too. So you can say, hey, you know, you contribute X, we'll contribute X, because we need it for the whole park. It's that kind of negotiating. As far as us going out and saying that's a priority, just to go and have it sit there for 10 years unused is not in our interest. But we now know what we need to do it. The other piece, though, they actually had kind of voted. One was, and it was great news, the WikiUp, weren't you happy? The WikiUp pump station. Yeah. So, do you want to tell them about WikiUp?
Well, we had, for all along, or with the districts, we'd always had the notion of, when we got into Cagle Acres, that, or even as Crest Creek built out, that we need to replace that pump station. And we've talked about that here before. And also with that would be replacing our sewer pressure main that goes from there 2.5 miles back to our lagoons. Anderson Perry came up with sort of a, well, maybe not totally conventional idea of a different sort of a pump system that would save us from having to replace that pressure main while also handling the additional flows of Cagle Acres in Glenwood, Anderson Acres, everything that's not sewered in the city at this time, and a little further if we chose to. So I'd like to do a little more looking into it, but it was really great news, and also $750,000 or maybe $1 million savings on that total project.
Yeah, so when we've been talking about going into Cagle and Glenwood, Doug, you were there, and you were there too. The bottom line is that we were, for sure, we just conventionally thought, and the prior study that was done in 2009 and 2006 and said by the HGE, the consultant who's built out the system for years, said, you're going to go add a parallel line next to that, clear from WikiUp, clear in here, clear down. That's like, say, that could be $1 million line right over there, in there. And you're talking $5 million to $6 million deal, so you take away $1 million, it's a big number. So what he said is that lift station, if we spent $200,000, it's right now it's got issues. So we can go in, fix that, and if we did this for $200,000, that line will take care of all of Cagle, Glenwood, all of her brother, all that stuff, all over out there. I mean the whole area, including our trailer park across the street, and have 100 called EDUs, basically 100 EDUs left over. And it's because, basically, if you want to think it's simple, and I'm not the engineer, he could probably, but they're using old grinder pumps, which grinds up solids and water, so but we don't have solids. So if you convert it to more of a water pump, it sends it through the pipe at a higher pressure to get rid of it. These pumps have a higher pressure, they have more velocity.
They work on a higher head pressure, and that's the issue out there, is all the ground slopes that way, so you have higher pressure, and that length of the pipe increases the pressure on like the pump. But more of a water-style pump that's built to work against that kind of pressure would work much more efficiently for us.
So we might come back with a proposal in the next month or two to go ahead and do that part. We have to see, I don't want to go spend $50,000 fixing it up if for $200,000 you can actually fix it for 20, 30 years of growth. I mean, the difference is you got to do it. Because right now he's got problems out there, and that's why we hired him in the first place. So whether we ever do anything with Cagle doesn't really matter. It's just that we have to go do something anyway, so why waste the... So that was actually good news. What did you think, Doug? You were there.
Well, it's something that has to be done. There's no two ways about it. And if you're going to fix it, there's no sense putting a small Band-Aid on a big wound. You might as well spend the $200,000 and fix it now so that it'll last the next 30 years. You don't have to worry about it. And it's a good system. The Public Works Committee all agreed that it's a good system, and it has to be done. So I hate to see $200,000 being spent, but might as well do it. If you're going to do it now. Do it right.
Okay.
Were you there?
Yes.
You were there, yeah. Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was almost too good to believe, but. But the engineering is there. I mean, the pumping, the stuff, the whole conflict was around, grinder pumps. They're old style, and they don't have the capabilities to pump the effluent against the head pressure on that line as well as as this type of turbine, I think you said turbine, just a water pump. So, you know, $200,000, I'd be surprised if you could get by with $50,000 to fix that whole mess down there. But I think it's something, and Public Works, Scott believes that it could fail at any time. So it, to me, it's urgent to move forward. And I think that Public Works...
They voted, they want us to.
What's that?
Remember, they voted, they...
Oh, yeah, and Public Works is going to bring that to the council here shortly. So.
Well, that we are doing it. That's kind of what I'm doing, is bringing it. But I want to do is do some more, we want to do some more checking.
Right.
But yeah, I think that we would probably move down that road and come here with a proposal to do that, to get it done.
Good.
You know, try to eliminate, because that's a, you know, it's taking care of the school and all that other stuff out there. You know, one of the things sold me on it was, you know, right now the pumps right up and down with the product. So when you have a pump to repair, it comes up out of there, out of the product. And so under this system, there's a separate well housing, and the pump is not in the product, and so when you repair and work on it, nor are you.
Oh, that's very good. I like that idea.
That, I didn't need anything else.
You know.
Dirty business.
But you know, it gets rid of the corrosion and the other issues. Yeah. But these pumps ride on rails, mm-hmm. and he was saying the rails might last, you thought, a year, two, three.
Maybe when they built that lift station, they went cheap and went with galvanized steel instead of stainless steel parts.
And then we replace the pumps yearly. About,
yeah, about.
And what are they?
$2,000 just to rebuild the pump.
So we're doing that every year.
$4,000 for a new.
So yeah, that would go away kind of because we do this thing. So what they do is they take what we have there now, and it kind of goes over with a whole new, almost picture a well in your back, a well with a casing, pumps up on top, vertical pump, sends it down that line at a higher pressure. And it makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense to him, but...
Yeah, it definitely does. If your sewer's not ever going to have solids in it, then yeah.
Yeah, and that was brought up. If you were ever to switch to a different system, but at this point, you're so far down that road, I can't see...
Not that much money out there.
Why would you do that?
To fix it, to go that way. Yeah.
So that was good, but it was a good report. And then, of course, he's finishing up all the maps. And things, of course, we have now a good base system of maps of all our water sewer lines, so we can give them to contractors, engineers. So that was good.
Yeah.
So we went and looked at the gentleman, that packet, who was going to come. That was some stuff he put together he was going to bring, so you have it. And so I said, well, let's just make the copy so we have it. We discussed with him other options in here. It was the man that was here on our agenda last week or last month, and we just discussed maybe there's some other better avenues to get his point across and better ways to present it to get a, you know, a different result. It has really worked with the Planning Commission because they're the ones that are going to work on any changes that need to be made down the road. What he was going to do tonight is give us a amendment. He had a proposed amendment to our ordinance. So we discussed the possibilities of that happening and not happening. So he is going to change his strategy on that, I think, and work with the group. He asked for, if there was a way, then his second thing was to give a pre-approval for future dispensaries. And told him that wasn't going to happen. So, you know, he was intelligent on the topic, and you know, I think at the end, other than when we had to go through a few hiccups, he understood where we're coming from. I think we understood. What do you think, Corey?
I agree with everything you're saying.
And I had to leave the room and let them carry on.
Yeah.
But I think. So then we went over, and the questions came up about the young man over in the Gordy's, whatever that mall is called, I don't know if it has a name, but and so we went over there, and he was there, and we talked to him, And what's going on there is, and I've got an email out to Jeremy, and so we'll work on it. But what it appears, again, you can all think lots of things, but we don't have the ability to, you know, that's for your coffee shops and for people, you know, because we're an entity, a public entity, and we have to stay, you know. But what is going on there is, he has a, and the reason you have to, according to him, I mean, and remember, this is nothing we regulate. We wouldn't regulate it if Hoonans wanted to become an Elks Lodge and only members can come in. The Eagles Lodge, only members come in. If this man wants to open a business and say you have to be a member, while you may not like it and you may wonder about it, it goes on in every city and all kinds of organization. Downtown Bend,
the Mason.
Drew Bretzlow and them have a restaurant on the second floor, and you know, you and I aren't going in it. We're not a member. So, I mean, there's no laws against that. So he is requiring only people to go in are card-carrying medical marijuana people. Now, we went in, and there he has retail sale items of necklaces and things, and, you know, again, we don't regulate those kinds of things. What he does is he puts those with a medical marijuana card, and those are the only ones allowed in, he puts them in contact with growers. It is legal to grow marijuana. Deschutes County didn't ban the growing of marijuana. They banned the dispensing. It's you coming in and I handing it to you. So it is legal, we assume. How can you stop someone from saying, hey, here's my medical marijuana card? And he says, oh, here, it could be as simple as, here's a list of 5 growers. The transaction has taken place at the grower. Not one ounce of marijuana comes in or goes out of the facility. Nothing is dispensed there.
So does he charge for his consulting services? How does he?
How do I know?
Yeah, how does he stay in business if he's...
But I think your brain has to tell you yes. But again, if he wanted to charge 10 cents, we don't regulate profits. But,
no, I'm just...
But yeah, I'm assuming he charges for the service. He may charge you $100 to the list. I don't know. I mean, there's some things we just can't regulate.
Yeah, that just seems awfully suspect, though.
Oh.
You know.
But what would be legal?
He claims he's not selling marijuana there, but I don't... Well, how do we find out if he really is or isn't?
How would we?
That's my question.
Well, no, we can't.
How do we go about doing that?
No, you tell me. You're innocent until you're proven guilty. He says that no marijuana goes in or out of it.
I can say well whatever he wants.
But until the plea, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, great. We're good. We don't get a. I know what you're frustrated, but
yeah.
I can think that. A restaurant down here only has one car a day, and they all drive new cars. I always wonder, where do they make their money? It doesn't appear to be food. But, you know, unless someone can prove it, it's not up to them to prove that they're not making a lot of money on their taco sales. You know, I mean, there's nothing that anyone can do.
Right.
He, until proven otherwise, you know, and actually, I doubt that much is going out that door because I think he knows he would be, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's just to let you know that's the what's up there. And
so he may be just getting in to get started, get set up for when, say, in a year or whatever they.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I know what Greg is talking about, the frustration around, but I have to agree with the city manager, and I heard some of this a little earlier. You know, unless there's probable cause or somebody knows, saw somebody carrying me, and the real thing is like, you know, like you're talking about clubs. You know, it's and he's just a consultant. So there's as much as we don't like the whole issue and the subject of it, I don't see how the city has any recourse other than to, until further information and proving that he is doing something illegal, which is at the state level or the police level, we got a guy doing business. And on the surface of it, he's doing it legal.
But to me, no matter what's going on, my personal thought is I think it's good for us to check on things. I don't think when we know something like that is different that we just turn our backs.
And that's why we went there.
So I think it's the follow-up is good, and then see what happens from there. But at least something was done to initially make contact.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, because he knows the city knows he's there now. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, if he's thinking on doing something out of bounds, he knows that you know he's there.
You know, if you put out a prohibition against something, somebody's going to find a way around it. I guarantee you. It's the American way. And, you know, I think he's a little clever myself. I mean,
well, you know what? That's going to pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
You can bet that's going to be all the cities that banned it. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because remember, now when you look at prohibition or some of these, in the example you just used, remember this, and that's one thing the guy kind of said today, and I said it didn't matter for, it wasn't going to have us change our ordinance or anything. But he's right in the state of Oregon, it is legal to get a prescription for medical marijuana. It's legal to grow medical marijuana, and it's legal, if it's not against the rules in your city, to go buy medical marijuana. That makes it hard to regulate. You know, you can try what the ordinance did, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, when all aspects of it are actually legal, and all you're doing is kind of trying to throw a monkey wrench in it a little bit, it's easy. Now, if marijuana was banned, you cannot dispense it, you cannot grow it. That's then much easier than you could say, well, you can't be putting them in because that's illegal. But where they're sending them is legal. Yeah. And the user is legal. All we did was ban, you can't hand it to them. That's really what we did. It was a dispensary
right.
issue. If you don't dispense it, nothing else was really banned.
There's another sort of a corollary there. If you've got a business and they sell all the equipment that you need to grow medical marijuana, from the lights to the watering to all of that kind of stuff, it's directly related to marijuana, but it's a legal business. I mean, it's the same, in my mind, the same thing he's doing. And we all know our position is we don't want it in our town, the dispensing of it inside the city limits. But it's legal. And yeah, hard to regulate, just like Rick said. So anyway,
so that issue is going to be around for quite a while. You know.
Could I ask you a question?
Well, of course.
I was reading this magazine that was left in my box here.
Oh, right.
And it's got quite an extensive little article on the marijuana issue. Something that the lawyer was suggesting in this publication is that you could make a special license for that type of thing and charge whatever you wanted to. So if we got to the point where we had no choice but to let one in town, couldn't we make his license to be a little heavy?
Yes. Yeah.
Fund that new pump.
What?
Fund that new pump. New pump. Well, yes, your yearly license is $200,000.
Yeah. You're going to see, that's where, you know, the other cities are going to start coming up with things. You're going to see, I think in the next few months, you'll get an idea of kind of how people are going to, you know, what way, just kind of ideas like that. You know, we talk about hours of operation, locations, you know, that's what you're going to regulate.
Yeah.
I think when this is all said and done. And
I have the hardest time seeing this because there's so many innocent you can't smoke a cigarette and have children in your car, and yet now you'll be able to have marijuana on board driving who knows how and with the kids in.
Just remember,
it's going to get rough.
You know, this is just happened on May 30th, and I was just pulling up, and I got an email from Greg Walden's office. Some of you get those, but anyway, the U.S. House passed last Friday a bill that would block the federal government from interfering with state medical marijuana laws. See, so they bought, but many Republicans voted with the Democrats on that, including Greg Walden. See, it's like, if you were to, I hate to say it, but if you know where this is going to end up.
Oh, yeah.
So I would, you know, decide how many stress pills you want to take over it, because the final chapter is really written. It's just how many chapters is the book? How tough a reading will it be? And when will you finish the book? But isn't the book written? It may be this year, next year. And so that's the way I look at it. If you really look at it from an unemotional, reasonable point of view, you know, when you got Greg Walden's fifth in power in the Republican-controlled Congress, voting with Earl Blumenauer and Peter DeFazio,
Well, it's like you say, not the fact that we lost our votes, is we're going down this path of a written book with the last chapter written. I think that's a good analogy. You know, I mean, it's in Colorado. It's in all kinds of places.
If the book was, I would change that. I'd say that this book hasn't been written if Oregon banned medical marijuana. If we ban growing medical marijuana, but none of that's happening. So don't you really think, you know, and so we're going through that frustration phase, you're going through all this. So
I just, again, my very personal, we've got so many lost kids in this town as it is, and this isn't going to help us. I know, bottom line, we're going to lose more kids, and it just, I don't know. I know there's no answer to it. And I guess that's, I know the ultimate answer, but getting there is a long time.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, we may end up with a couple more of those that pop up like that. But, you know, again, it's a commercial zone. Mm-hmm. They're not doing a product that we regulate. You can open up a Tupperware shop. They can sell necklaces and they can tell people whatever they want. And so, you know, we just will, now, there is the sign, he's not violating the sign, doesn't have a wood sign out on the highway with fake posts and all of that. It's got a name that's not even offensive, and, you know, the windows were open, the door was open, we walked right in, we didn't have to push a button, and, you know, there's just nothing. But I did send it to Jeremy just to see if he had any thoughts on that. And I also sent it to the fire chief. So today on the business license, which was good to let you know, we have a business that's going to open up. And so they came in and met me a couple weeks ago, and then they sent me their business license app. So our process is, this is our first time doing it. We call it a new business in an existing building. So we, other than this guy that we were just talking about, I've had it for a month. But I hadn't done anything with it yet. But this one came in, and so I sent it to the fire department, and we have a sign-off sheet, so it's real neat. So I talked to Supkus this morning on the phone and said, okay, our first experiment's coming. So I sent it to him, and then he reviewed it and attached a few comments. It was back that day. And so then I'll do that. I talked to the county. They didn't have any issues with this part of it. So now we'll just, I will send it to you. You'll see it tomorrow. Sewer and water, to make sure that the sewer and water is proper, does it work for this business, and then you're going to sign off and say yes or no, or what changes you need. So he's got to go make a site visit, then I'm last, sign it, they get a business license, so we'll know. He's already applied for it. He came in, I said, you have to get it, your sign isn't legal, so let's make your sign legal, and he's going to do that, so he's applied for a sign, so it's exactly how it's supposed to work.
and so that'll be good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Anything else, staff?
You know, the essential email, just again for the record, there are elections people can file for office, and anyone wanting to run for city council can do so now. You have the applications for people. Did you make some up so if they come in? And people may file, or go get your petition out, do all those things. But Patty has all the information. If anyone has questions, certainly can call me or Patty. But you've got to August
26th.
So anyone that wants to run, get right on out there. And we got three positions open, the mayor and two council positions.
Okay. That concluding staff council comments. I could add another half dozen words on that.
You know what I think? I'm ticked and I can't. You know, I can't do anything about it, and I know it's coming just like a lot of other things I disagree with. It's not good, and that's where I stand.
Well, everybody knows how I feel about it. This is the problem. It's not our moratorium. It's the state law and how it's written. It gives way too much freedom to the people who claim they need to use medical marijuana. You know, they can walk out in their front yard and smoke it, and it comes in my house, but that's legal under this law. So write your congressman, write your senator, write anybody that you know in government. Say, you know, this is a problem, not what we're trying to do here in Lapine. It's state. It's the state law, and it's way too much gray area. And if we can fix that, we can maybe change a lot of things. And one more note, Corey, welcome to the city. Looking forward to getting to know you a little better. Have fun. That's why you're here in Lapine.
Yeah.
Karen? On a lighter note, I'd like to say to you, Rick, that you did a wonderful job with the budget and your budget committee. You made the paperwork easy to read and understand for a layperson even. So thank you.
Well, we do try to make we're still getting better at it, and I do think in the future I feel good about getting our finances, the whole systems kind of things, and we're going to move into some other deeper things on it, so to try to get things set up good. Did you guys get your training on the...
We need to talk to you about that.
Oh, you're not training well. Why?
Because Summer wants to talk to you about that.
Oh. Well, we have
you're a shock caller, man.
Well, I will get that shock. And then also, I sent the email because I'm going to be gone a couple, 3 weeks, spread over 3 months. So... the first one will be not next week, the following week, and then the week after the fourth, that week, and then in August, most likely. So, because I've taken a week off since I arrived last April.
Well, you want to get have a good vacation.
Yeah, I just have to get my brain back.
Yeah, I believe it.
I got a river trip on each of those weeks. So.
Thank you.
Kind of thought you did. Kathy?
When I was talking with Alan Unger about this situation, he said the time to fight was years ago. He said it's gone so far now that there's nothing we can do. And he says now you're going to have to just decide how you're going to regulate it and what you're going to do. It's too late to do anything about it. And it's heartbreaking. Yeah, but he's right. It was years ago when you think, oh, this will never happen, but the squeaky wheel, how did that go? Gets the grease or something? Yeah.
Actually, you know, I think, Greg, you're right about the law. Somewhere, if you look at this, because it was actually approved in 98, that's a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I think that what obviously happened, it went from the original intent was people who truly needed it for an illness, you know, and they were truly going to a regular doctor and getting a prescription. And somewhere over it has got to be in the last two, in other words, I don't think this was a decade, but I'm assuming in this last year or two or three, something changed or people got wise or something, and these doc, call these rent-a-doctors popped up, who are sitting there all day long writing prescriptions. Because that's what's got this all to the level it is. And you heard the stats on how many of them were young.
Well, yeah. And back when we were discussing the moratorium, and I made the point about the city, you know, the small cities up in Humboldt County. Yeah, sure, Humboldt County's been pot growers heaven for ever, but not until it became legal to grow it in your neighbor's, in your backyard, did it become a problem for homeowners. And that was my point. I was trying to get across to people of a pint. You know, you let the growing start, and every distressed property in town will get bought up by a grower from California or something. Come up, he'll move his equipment in, and your property value just, you know, tanked. You got half of what you used to get for your property. So, and that happened to a couple.
I went to Venice.
You're in La Pine trying to find a new place to live. They lost their home. When they sold it, half the value that they expected from it. They came to La Pine to look for a better place to start over at 70. Yeah. And here's, look what's happening right here.
As I went to Venice Beach, and you've been on the boardwalk of Venice Beach. I'll never forget, it was a few years ago, and they did one of the beach shops and things, and there was a big sign, the doctor is in. And he was doing medical marijuana evaluations. And I thought, now I have a picture of it. I remember I took a picture. I said, I gotta go check this out. At first I gotta see the doctor. And he had a little counter. You don't worry about a back room. They didn't need x-ray machines or anything. You just go up to this little counter, and I don't know how long you have to stand there and talk to the doctor. And then, you know, you watch pretty soon, you get a prescription, and then pretty soon he needed a break or something, because they went out, he got up, come out behind his little stand, and went out, flipped his sign around, said, doctor is out, we'll be back later.
Yeah.
And I thought, no.
You need a joint.
Well, I think Greg said one time too, and I know that probably at least four out of five of us, not five out of five, qualify for medical marijuana. It's easier to get.
There's a ridiculous number of things that they will write prescriptions for. It doesn't have to be pain, you know. You don't like the color blue, so here, smoke this.
I think you heard some of the stats that I came across was that four doctors write 65% of all prescriptions in the state. The profile of a medical marijuana user is a 24-year-old male with stress syndrome. And so when you just look at that, you know, this whole medical marijuana, like you said, you started out with something that was, you know, it helped some people. And then all of a sudden, it's sort of like this guy that we've got down here that's consulting. You know, they're going to find a way around it. And once you were right about the fight was a long time ago. We're just sort of cruising along with where it's going to go toward that final chapter. So
don't forget, next Monday we will be here for our urban renewal.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, and that'll be just that's all we'll do is do an urban renewal meeting, hearing on that. And we have an ordinance to pass, and that's out and probably not. Then Wednesday is the open house at the chamber at 5:30. So if you can go down, the 6:30 Planning Commission comes back. They have to do a hearing. They'll take testimony and do their thing. And Elaine will be here Monday and Wednesday, our consultant. And then in July we have something else we do. But that will be it.
And there's no work session on the 24th or 6th, whatever that was. Okay.
We already are having enough extra meetings.
And I think that open house is at 5.
At 5?
I will email you.
Oh, it is 5 to 6, and
I think it's 5 to 6, and then we move the meeting to 6:30, so we have a little bit of a buffer zone there to get a lean back over here.
Yeah.
So I'll email you and make sure that it's really at 5 tomorrow.
Try to go down and so that you can talk to people and, you know, talk it up. The committee that voted, you know, to pass on, and they were all very happy. And so, and in fact, Monday night, the other thing we will do there is we will appoint some committee members for our permanent committee. And I've got 4 or 5 right now. You know, we are short one, we can get one later, but we're working on getting some.
The permanent committee?
The permanent committee.
Yeah. If we're done with council comments, the mayor's comments are along the lines of what a great turnout we had for the cleanup day. We had about 125 people, plus some staff, the cooks and all those kind of people. The American Legion came along and did all the barbecuing for us. It went so smoothly. Gary took a big item in taking the Wiki Up Park and Ride. And we have the Cadet Corps here again. It was a great effort. I think it was money well invested. We've got a great turnout from the ODOT, our great partners. They loaned us the sign equipment that we put out on the streets. And he told me, you get it done on Saturday, we'll come and sweep the streets on Monday. And guess what? They had that big sweeper truck. And as a matter of fact, they came back through a second time after I mentioned that we didn't get the stuff in front of the Red Rooster. It's gone now. But it was really a great day. Everything went well. So talking about the city manager is going to be on vacation. Ken's going to take a few days off himself over a period of time between now and the end of July. So. And my only comment about the medical marijuana is I honestly think that in the somewhere down the road, we will see the U.S. Congress do something about reclassifying marijuana. It is currently classified as a dangerous drug in the cocaine and heroin category. If they classified it if they changed it from a Class A to a Class B, it would go into the pharmacies, and any doctor could write a prescription for it and be sold through pharmacies. So don't ever discount that as a way to get at it where it's more legal dispensed in maybe a more appropriate way. So, with that, I have nothing.
We'll see everyone Monday.
Mm-hmm. Oregon Transportation Commission is meeting on the 19th, which is a big thing. They're going to meet in Bend.
You'll be there for that.
And I'll be there for that. So, I've been asked to say a few words, and I think it behooves us to take those opportunities when we can.
No. That's the day we ever meet. No, it's 19th. Is 19th Wednesday?
Yes.
Yes.
18th is Wednesday.
Yeah.
18th.
Yeah.
Is it Thursday? Oh. Maybe this will be a Thursday. It's next week then.
Yeah, it's next week. So, I have nothing further. Council? Motion to adjourn?
Motion to move. Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor?
All right. We have a Pine Economic Development meeting tomorrow.
Mark 10 o'clock. LED is meeting.